Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, praise God. So let's start our study. Blueprints for spiritual growth. This is part 4. Blueprints for spiritual growth. And this is part 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are live in this meeting this morning. So let's start writing. Blueprints for spiritual growth, part 4. Let's start writing. We've been emphasizing a need to fix our hearing and receiving. We've been emphasizing a need to fix our hearing and receiving. You can't hear me? All right. Can you hear me now? You may like to come here if you can't hear me. Change your seat. We've been emphasizing a need to fix our hearing and receiving. A need to fix our hearing and receiving. As the foundation for every other activity. We've been emphasizing a need to fix our hearing and receiving as a foundation for every other activity. Every other activity that is expected from us in our journey as believers. Every other activity that is expected of us in our journey as believers. So we've been emphasizing a need to fix our hearing and receiving as a foundation for every other activity that is expected of us in our journey as believers. We're still writing. We've seen from James 1:22-25. We've seen from James 1:22-25. We've seen from James 1:22-25 that continuity in hearing and receiving, that continuity in hearing and receiving, continuity in hearing and receiving is what makes us doers of the word. Continuity in hearing and receiving is what makes us doers of the word. Continuity in hearing and receiving is what makes us doers of the word. Hallelujah. So, let me ask you a question now. You know, we've been emphasizing that daily commitment, a need to hear God's word every day, take notes and be active in your receiving, have focus in learning. Let me ask you this question. Why do you think camp meetings or maybe long conferences, why do you think they have much effect on people? Huh? Anybody? Why do you think camp meetings have much? Have you ever been for a camp meeting before? Let me see your hand. Did it affect you deeply? Right? Why do you think that happened? Because of the much exposure. Daily teaching. If the camp meeting is for 3 days, you are taught in the morning, taught in the afternoon, taught in the evening, and then you are taught, you know, you repeat the process till you leave the camp meeting. If it's a conference, every day you assemble and you are taught. And then at the end of the whole meeting, it's like, ah, wow, man, our lives are changed, our lives are transformed. And in few days, you depart from that culture. You can even coast on that impact for a few weeks. And then after then, you begin to see a result of staying away again. Suddenly you are not as, you know, excited. Suddenly you are not as bold or confident. Suddenly you are not as spiritual in your walk because you departed from that stuff. So most times, people who find that impact to flames are people who, after the event or after the camp meeting or the conference, they continue in that culture and tradition. So that's the stuff. So with or without the camp meeting, if a man feeds on the word every day, it will have the same result. Hallelujah. It will have what? The same result. With or without a camp meeting. Just have a daily commitment to God's word. Amen. Now, let me quickly say this also, that many people are giving excuses. I'm not talking about here now. I'm talking about generally. We've spoken to people over the past 2 weeks. We've been having conversations with people. And most people are giving excuses of, there's no time. Excuses of, no, I can't really settle down to hear God's word. I can't. And you are wondering, I mean, these are Christians. How can you settle down to do every other thing deliberately? But God's word, you don't have time. Is that not a satanic deception? You don't have time for God's word, but you have time for every other thing. You deliberately eat your breakfast or anything. You deliberately go to work. You deliberately go to class, maybe school. You deliberately sit down to watch movies. But when it's God's word, there's really no time. I'm just, God should just help us. See, it's a satanic deception because, like Pastor Toby said in his teaching, The Eternal Shepherd, one of the strategies in war is to starve soldiers. Once they are starved, they cannot perform as they should. So Satan has distracted believers from the main thing. We are now so bothered about every other thing. And then you now find such a Christian who does not have time for God's word. He wants to have time for prayer. He wants to really be prayerful. Shofar Jini, praise God. How do you become prayerful without God's word? He wants to serve God. He wants to be very committed, but he's not ready to stay with God's word. That's impossible. Hallelujah. That is what? Impossible. Let's go to James 1, 22 to 25 again. It's impossible. So, you know, I've been pleading with us. Let us get back to a daily commitment to God's word. Hallelujah. A daily commitment. James chapter 1 and verse 22 to 25. Are we all there now? James 1, 22 to 25. Bible says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, and is not but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Let's write. Someone will be blessed in what he does. So, we've seen that the word doer means performer. We've seen that the word doer means performer. The word doer means performer. Or a poet means performer or a poet. Which points to how we ought to feed on God's word. Which points to how we ought to feed on God's word or how to do the word. You are a performer. You are meant to act out the word of God. You are meant to perform God's word. So that word shows us how we ought to feed on God's word and how we ought to do the word. Let's keep writing. You cannot perform what you haven't put into your mind. You cannot perform what you have not put in your mind. So, you know, it's first about your intake. You cannot perform what you have not put in your mind. What you have not put in your mind constantly. Hallelujah. You cannot perform what you have not put in your mind constantly. Let's keep writing. A poet becomes skillful in presentation. A poet becomes skillful in presentation because of constant memorization and recitals. A poet becomes skillful in presentation because of constant memorization and recitals. You know, some of those speeches, look up, some of those speeches that have wowed the world, they were actually not impromptu. Amen. Don't think the man just started talking and that was no. Some of those great speeches, people rehearse, stand in front of a mirror, the man is practicing, rehearsing, memorizing, committing things to memory, and then is able to deliver it perfectly. Glory to God. And even if there are going to be times when he just spontaneously says something, it goes back to the order of the speech. As he has memorized it. As he has familiarized himself with the content. Memorization methods differ. For some of them, they just memorize the key paragraphs and they know what to say on everything. For some, they memorize the entire thing. How many of us have seen Three Idiots? Okay, you remember that guy? Good memorization. But then they had changed the speech for him and he didn't know. And he was just memorized. And he came and he was delivering it perfectly. So that's how those people become skillful. They take in a lot of memorization. They recite over and over again and they become skilled in their presentation. Glory to God. Let's keep writing. The input determines the output. The input determines the output. The input determines the output. Therefore, we must labor more on our input. The input determines the output. Therefore, we must labor more on our input. So labor more on our input. You don't get carried away by how much you are meant to do. You are meant to focus first on how much you are meant to receive. Hallelujah. So let's keep writing. We've also seen that the word forget, in quote, as used at James 1:24. We've also seen that the word forget, in quote, as used at James 1:24, is the Greek word epilantanomai. The word forget as used at James 1:24 is the Greek word epilantanomai. Epilanthanomai. Epilanthanomai. Epilantanomai. What does it mean? And we've seen that it means to ignore or neglect. By now you should have that definition in you. Praise God. We've gone over it over and over and over again. It means to ignore and to do what? And to neglect. So the forgetfulness is not that the person has poor memory. Forgetfulness is not that the person cannot remember things easily. He doesn't have good or sharp memory, like we say. The forgetfulness is a neglect. The man has chosen to ignore what he has seen. Hallelujah. He has chosen to not pay attention to what is in the word of God. So he looks at the word and goes away. And then I read to us different translations that makes us realize that's what James was really saying. A translation says, he who studies the word and continues to study it is the man that will not forget. Another translation says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and fixes his attention there. So it's a neglect. Hallelujah. And we're going to see what reminders do for us. You are going to see in practical terms how that, see, the Christian life, spiritual growth, is predicated on being taught and being reminded. In fact, being reminded plays a major role. That's why you can't say, well, we have taught righteousness by faith. I understand righteousness by faith. I don't need to go. No. You need to listen to it again. Because listening to it again is a major way you are going to grow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. Because it's not about what is in your memory. It's about how the knowledge makes you feel now. So does it have an impact on you, your whole being, your emotions, your thinking, your mindset? If that knowledge is just merely stored up in the memory, it will do no good. How many of us were science students in school? How many of us were, well, you don't have to be a science student, we all did maths. How many of you remember Pythagoras theorem? Can you explain it? For some of us that from our SS2, we divorced with mathematics. I cannot remember anything. See, if you give some formulas, it will be very strange. It will look like chemistry. Praise God. I don't even know what it means. Hallelujah. So how many of you remember Pythagoras? Anybody? What does it mean? What is the, the square of the, how many of you know what the square is? Okay, square. Because that's where we start from. Hey, square. So it has gone. Hallelujah. Can you recite the 12 times table? Don't say, if I call you. What I'm trying to say is, you see, certain things will leave you. Not everything you studied in class is with you, is it? Now, it does not mean if I say it, you won't remember that you studied something like that. But it has no effect on your life. You know? It has no effect. Now, funny enough, don't assume that all those things don't have their use. You know, people used to say, mathematics, how many of those things are we using in our life? It's you. See, they are mathematicians. If you know the way they calculate things, everyday life, you'll be shocked. Some folks, you give them some crazy calculations, they will not start adding plus and doing things. At the moment you say it, in 2 seconds, they just give you an answer. So people are using those things everyday life because it's something that is important to them. It's relevant to their living. Hallelujah. So we forget things because we don't pay attention any longer. It's not because we have poor memory. It's because we are not really interested in it and we're not paying attention. Glory to God. Let's keep writing. So the forgetfulness is an attitude of ignoring the word of God. The forgetfulness is an attitude of ignoring the word of God. Forgetfulness is an attitude of ignoring the word of God. What transforms is a constant beholding or looking into the perfect law of liberty. Was that too much? So the forgetfulness is an attitude of ignoring the word of God. What transforms is a constant beholding or looking into the perfect law of liberty. That's what transforms, guys. It's not about what you have heard. It's about what you are hearing. Hey, put this in your notes. It's not about what you have heard. It's about what you are hearing. That's the important thing. It's not that we have heard it before. What are you hearing now? Glory to God. Look up, everybody. Do you know why this is important? If you are not hearing God's word, you would always be hearing other things. Don't assume that you are not paying attention to God's word. That means your mind is now blank. No, you will be hearing other things. So you heard the word last Sunday, and by Monday to Saturday, the world has told you many other things. You've heard so many things that are contrary to God's word. Some of them outright oppositions to the word of God. Some of them just subtle suggestions to dissuade your mind from the word of God. So you heard that constantly through the week, and you did not hear the word of God. So it is not about what you have heard. It is about what you are hearing. Hallelujah. About what you are hearing. Because that is how spiritual growth happens. Look at verse 25. James 1:25. You know, there's something they call premature encounter. Premature encounter is to just hear the word and store it up in your knowledge, in your mind, and then you are just intelligent about God's word. And then when we ask you, you can, if somebody in his backsliding state, they will be preaching to him like, just say, no, you didn't get that Greek word. Yes, I know a man like that. He will show you the Greek word. You didn't get the Greek word. That's not the Greek word. And the man is backslided, drinking and smoking. Hallelujah. Womanizing. He knows Greek words. He knows the context of everything. So because he's smart, he's an intelligent person. So don't assume it is about what you heard. It's about what you are hearing. Hallelujah. That is the one that changes people's lives. I heard it and I'm hearing it again. My life begins to change. Look at verse 25. James 1:25. Hallelujah. Bible says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but the doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now let's write. The word forgetful here, as used here, is the word E-P-I-L-E-S-M-O-N-E. Are you still struggling to hear me? Then come here, please. Just come to the front here. Come and sit on this seat. So that you hear my mouth. Hallelujah. Is there another person struggling? You can all vacate your seat at the back and come and sit here. Don't pack your chairs and come here. Praise God. So the word forgetful is the Greek word E-P-I-L-E-S-M-O-N-E. Which is from the root word of the first one, epilantanoi. It's from the root word. And it simply means negligence. A forgetful hearer is a negligent hearer. Forgetful simply means what? Negligence. So, from both words, you get the idea of how that, the reason why men are forgetful is because of their neglect. It's an attitude problem. Glory to God. Like I was asking, I've asked this question in the past 3 weeks, that how many folks have committed to God's word, daily intake of God's word, like we do now, like we are doing right now, on a daily basis for 3 months? How many people? There are people who don't even do, who have not even done 2 weeks. And you know, they used to say that before anything will change your life, you must at least give it 21 days. Some have said, no, not 21, 30. Some have said, no, not 30, 70. Hallelujah. And some have said, no, it's not really 70. For you to have mastery over anything, you must have 10,000 hours. Who shall we go to? 21 days. Praise God. No. The point is, they are just trying to say, consistency is what changes people. Hallelujah. So negligence. So let's keep writing. That is, the forgetfulness is negligence. The forgetfulness is negligence. Do you know why we insist on people writing in this church? Writing is a major aspect of education. A major one. Amen. And it's not new. Do you know, in Bible days, they used to have scribes. Many times people will say that only God knows how the apostles wrote the gospel account. Even myself, I just said, it's from, you know, from their memory. Then recently, it occurred to me, they are scribes, so. And one time in Jesus' teaching, he said, everyone who is instructed, you know, in matters of the kingdom is like a scribe. So there were scribes in the ministry, people who were writing. And so they had to compare those things, bring back those. Because see, there's an adage that says, the faintest pen is better than what? Sharpest memory. Don't assume that your memory is that powerful. So writing is key. So let's keep doing this and, you know, get used to it. So the forgetfulness is negligence. Now, Apostle Peter shows us what happens to those who forget or neglect the word. Apostle Peter shows us what happens to those who forget or neglect the word. You know, sometimes I see people sermon notes. After 2 hours, you see one page or 2 pages. Key points. You've not started. You are going to write, you should write like you are writing a book. Praise God. All this dictation, 2 pages, key points. Stop now. Praise God. So it shows us what happens to those who forget and neglect the word. 2 Peter 1:3-9. 2 Peter 1:3-9. You know, in today's teaching, we're going to see how Christianity is about education. Spiritual education. Very key. And we will not be able to influence people until they can read and write in any language they are being taught. Hallelujah. That's why a major thing the missionaries did when they came to Africa was to start educating people for the sake of the gospel. If you join the Jehovah's Witnesses today and you cannot read or write, you are an illiterate, they will teach you how to read and write because of their doctrine. Because see, education is education. Knowledge is being imparted and the man must be able to relate to that knowledge. You're not just sitting casually looking around. No. Education. 2 Peter 1:3-9. What happens to the man that forgets and neglects the word of God? From verse 3. Bible says, as his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, heart to your faith. Giving what? Giving what? Is effort required? Giving all diligence, heart to your faith. Virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. I think we've explained this before. Add to your faith means to produce by your faith, to supply in your faith. All these things are within the boundaries of your faith. And so, you have the knowledge of God. You make effort to feed on God's word and you produce all these virtues. Now look at verse 7. The context is clear. It says, to godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be what? Neither barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason why you're going to bear fruit is because you have the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. He who lacks these things is what? Short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. King David says, he who lacks these things is short-sighted and is blind and cannot see afar off. So he explains why a man will lack these virtues. You know, the virtues he described is simply spiritual growth. That's spiritual growth. So he says, if a man lacks spiritual growth, it is because he is short-sighted. He is blind. He cannot see. Now let's write. Verse 9 is the emphasis. Let's write. The word short-sighted or blind. The word short-sighted or blind. The word short-sighted or blind is the Greek word T-U-P-H-L-O-S. It's the Greek word T-U-P-H-L-O-S. Which could either mean physical blindness or mental blindness. Which could either mean physical blindness or mental blindness. The word short-sighted or blindness, here is the Greek word T-U-P-H-L-O-S, which could either mean physical blindness or mental blindness. I'm still writing. The latter is fitting for the context of Peter's discourse. The latter is fitting for the context of Peter's discourse. That is, it's a mental blindness. The latter is fitting for the context of Peter's discourse. The phrase cannot see afar off. The phrase cannot see afar off. Hallelujah. The phrase cannot see afar off is one word in the Greek. Is one word in the Greek spelled M-U-O-P-A-Z-O. The phrase cannot see afar off is one word in the Greek M-U-O-P-A-Z-O. Which means to see dimly. Which means to see dimly. To see dimly, dimly. Like this, something is dim. You can't see well. To see dimly. It also means to shut the eyes. Imagine that. It also means to shut the eyes. So when he says he cannot see afar off, it is because the man has closed his eyes to that reality. He's not looking. He's not paying attention. He has shut his eyes from those things. So what has he shut his eyes from? He says he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old things. He has forgotten his identity in Christ. Hallelujah. He has shut his eyes. So the forgetfulness is also about an attitude. He has neglected God's word. He's not looking at it again. He's not paying attention. And you know, when he now gets tempted, he now begins to say, I'm the righteousness of God, I'm the righteousness of God, I'm the righteousness of God, till he falls. What you were meant to have been doing with your life all the while is to feed your mind with the word of God, study, understand God, let it dominate your thinking. You know, there's an erroneous way some grace preachers preach righteousness by faith. They preach righteousness by faith and they say the way it works is that if you want to smoke, hold your cigarette like this and say, I'm God's righteousness. You will still smoke as God's righteousness. Because that's not how it works. It's about growth. Glory to God. And a lot of people are now frustrated because they've tried all those shortcuts. What we are handing to men are shortcuts. Glory to God. Heard of a couple in courtship, folks in courtship, and then the man said, or the guy was telling the pastor that they've been struggling with issue of premarital sex, and then the man said, what have you done? Have you prayed? They were running checklists. The man said, we pray a lot. Even sometimes, even when we are in the act, I used to pray in tongues. You know, because he thinks that is the way to get out of. No! Your tongues will just be music. You need to develop capacity before the day of temptation. How did Jesus overcome temptation? You know, we saw the man Jesus, Matthew 4, Luke 4. He had just gone over to have 40 days fasting and prayer. And then he came and he was tempted. And he was able to easily. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God that, you know, proceeds from the mouth of God. Today, what will come to the mind of a person who is not fed with God's word in the day of temptation is, give us this day our daily bread. And the interpretation will be bread. So it's about the input, what is in the mind of the man. Are you learning something? So it's a neglect. And that is the attitude you see both in James and in Peter's teaching. That the man is not growing because he has chosen to not pay attention again to God's word. Ever since we started these recommended teaching things, some people have been running away from church meetings. Some people have been running away. And it's just the same way it happens in school, where students don't go to class because they've not done their assignments. Students don't go to class because they didn't remember to copy their notes. They tell you to go and copy some notes and you've not done it. And then you are running from class. You start stabbing class. Amen. Now in this church, nobody is going to say, nobody is going to do anything to you if you don't do the assignments or follow the recommended teachings. The only thing we can do is to keep encouraging you. One, if we have to, rebuke if we have to, correct. But see, that attitude of running away from church because you are not keeping up with what we are doing here, it's a way to destroy yourself and your walk. Why did we give those recommended teachings? So that we can grow. Hallelujah. And see, if you do it, you will grow. Won't you grow? You will. So, it is not so much about, pastor will mark my notes. But if that's the motivation, you have not gotten what we are saying. It's not about the fact that we're going to mark your notes. It's about you want a life transformed. Glory to God. So that's why it is both pastors and members, everybody, that are doing the assignments. I have my notes. Pastors submit to one another. Pastor Toby will check my note, I will check his notes. I check the note of every other person. But see, it's about the impact and the effect of God's word on our lives. Glory to God. It's about time we stop neglecting God's word. And going busy about with every other activity in our lives all through the week. And we expect to see results. James says such a man is deceiving himself. Hallelujah. He's doing what? Deceiving himself. So we have to create time for God's word. Now let's see. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, 12 to 13. The forgetfulness is an attitude. The moment you find yourself in a state where you are not listening to God's word every day, you are already in the state described in James in 2 Peter. That state of neglect. And the outcome will be that you'll be barren in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your attitude and conduct will reveal that you are not growing. Glory to God. It will reveal that you are not growing. How can you be in a church like this? Someone say, hey, what church? What church? How can... There are what churches where people are keeping malice, bitterness, anger, revenge. What is happening there? The members are not growing. And we are deceived to think, come to church on Sunday, just have a great time, go back. No, it's not like that. Amen. It's not like that. Do you know these days, it's even hard to convince people that if you know the word, your life will change. It's hard. You know why? Because we have used wrong parameters. You look at a man who is so giving to teaching, or a church where they are always teaching, and you see that people's lives are not improving spiritually. So you say, with all the giving, are they that giving to it? Because there's a difference between a Sunday teaching and a daily commitment. Do you get what I'm saying? So people look at those kind of people. Some of you, before we started the recommended teachings, people thought you were committed. They thought you were very committed. Do you get what I'm saying? They thought you were very committed. I mean, somebody reached out to me and said, I'm just seeing growth now. And then you'll be like, all this why? And it's in a word church. So let's quit the self-delusion and deceit. If there's no daily commitment, there will not be growth. You will not find it. You know the worst thing that will happen? You will get tired of the whole thing and stop coming to church. And you will be claiming God's word did not work in your life when you did not pay attention like you should. Glory to God. Daily. Daily. We're emphasizing this because we are at a point in the Christian church or the body of Christ where the daily commitment is not emphasized. In fact, very bad for some people, they are in places where the pastor talks down on knowledge. You think it's knowledge? It is knowledge, oh my brother. Hallelujah. You think it's by knowledge? You think it's by study? You think it's by all this academic thing? You think it's by... No, it is by it. So, imagine people in such places, they will not even pay attention. And then the sermon on the Sunday morning is some 25 minutes or 20 minutes. So let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter. He who is blind and is short-sighted, he who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his own sin. May you not be blind. Amen. May you not be short-sighted. Amen. May you not forget. Amen. That's the sermon. What are you saying? Don't you know that's how they preach in some places? Brethren, may we not be blind. We are all blind already. It's not about prayer. It's about explaining what it means so that people can take the right action. So we have bad and poor standards. And I'm saying this to you. You know, the Lord said this to me earlier this year. That see, if the Christian church will make progress, any church at all, we have to go back to make a rediscovery of our learning. And that's why I sat down. You know, there was a time I started dictating, and then you are writing, and then you are taking these things more seriously. We have to rediscover learning. Is this how you learn in school? Amen. You know, I remember my government teacher then. Sometimes she will not even come with notes. She just start dictating. The moment you enter the class, if you come in late, you're already way behind. She's dictating, and she will not stop till we are done with the class. 2 hours. And we're writing. And you see, we saw the impact in our lives. So the truth is, we must rediscover how to learn as a church. And not pay good attention to every other thing, secular things. You want to learn a skill, they say 6 hours training, you are there with your notes, you are paying attention. If you don't get a point, you say, no, sir, you lost me there. You know, that kind of apt and rapt attention. But you come to church, whether you understand, whether it passes, whether you heard it, it does not matter. You say, glory to God, we had a powerful service. You go, no, we must rediscover our learning. Because it's in that we'll find spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Alright, so let's stay on this journey. 2 Peter 1:12-13. 2 Peter 1:12-13. If every other thing fails, and every other thing will fail. If every other thing fails, God's word, a daily intake of God's word, will not fail. It will not fail. Every other thing will fail without it. 2 Peter 1:12-13. Hallelujah. Alright. Bible says, for this reason, I will not be negligent. As a pastor speaking, I will not be careless about teaching. I will not neglect the idea of teaching men and reminding them. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to steer you up by doing what? By reminding you. Look at verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put up my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have what? That you always have what? A reminder of these things after my disease. Imagine that. So, let's write. For Peter speaking. Let's write. Peter speaking shows us the importance of being reminded. Peter speaking shows us the importance of being reminded. Glory to God. Listen now, everybody. Do you know the moment Peter says, therefore, because of this reason, I will not be negligent. You know, he just finished talking about how some people can lack those things. So he says, some people can lack these things because they've forgotten it, they've neglected. So me, I will not be negligent to remind you. That is, the way to help you become fruitful and grow in the faith is to keep teaching you, is to keep reminding you, is to, you know, stay perpetually under teaching. Hallelujah. Stay perpetually under teaching. You miss a church service, get the tape and listen. You know, there are times people miss church services legitimately. There was nothing they could do. I'm not of the opinion that if they call you to your place of work on Sunday once in a while and your boss insists and you have to go because of a project, it means you are non-serious. I'm not of that opinion. Hallelujah. There are people who go to work because it's just a necessity. I mean, unless you've gotten a job for the person. You say, go and quit. No, it's not like that. Do you know how many days and weeks of believing God to get that one job in Nigeria? You know, go and quit it. So, but I'm looking for the right attitude. Now that you missed service, what should you do? Get the message. Listen to it. Take notes. That is seriousness. Don't people miss school also? You miss out on class because of a legitimate reason. So, but then, your attitude as a student will now show when you come back and you try to catch up with everything that was said when you were away. But that nonchalance, you don't care, you don't even know, you don't even bother, you don't even want to know whatever was taught. You just move on. It shows you have not prioritized learning in your work as a Christian. Hallelujah. This is so important. So let's keep writing. Peter shows the importance of reminder in spiritual growth. The word remind KJV says remembrance. They're the same. The word remind or remembrance, as used at verse 12, is the Greek word which means to cause to remember. You see that? So I'll remind you. To remind means I want to cause you to remember. That means before the reminder, it's possible you've forgotten. Hallelujah. It's a Greek word that means to cause to remember. Let me spell it for you. H-U-P-O. The reason why we call out Greek words is so you can check it yourself. H-U-P-O-M-I-M-N-E-S-K-O. I didn't write the Greek dictionaries or concordances. I'm learning too. So you can check, you can get access to it and check it out. And be sure that what we are saying as the definition is true. H-U-P-O-M-I-M-N-E-S-K-O. There are places where they call Greek words to deceive. Somebody used the Greek word and said, this Greek word gives you speed for supernatural exploit, for supernatural prosperity. I was listening to the tape like this, watching the video on YouTube, and I was like, okay. And then he called the name, the Greek word. I'm like, ah, does not have anything to do with supernatural kiniko kiniko. This Greek word actually even means to be diligent, to make effort to get something. So he says no. He puts you in front. He just moves you. Poof. But the Greek one means to make effort. You will labor. And people are like, wow, Greek word. Hallelujah. Neither of us are from Greece. So check the Greek word yourself and be sure. So it means to cause to remember. Let's keep writing. This means without the teaching, you will forget. This means without the teaching, you will forget. Or without remaining under constant teaching, you will forget. Hallelujah. Stayed away from church meetings for many weeks. Stayed away from church meetings for many months. Some 1 year. You have no idea how many things you have forgotten. You have no idea how ineffective you have become. Without constant reminder, you are going to forget. Let's keep writing. The word reminder. The word reminder. As used at verse 13. Also means a recollection. The Greek words are almost in the same family. So they all look alike. That one is upominesco. This one is upomnesis. It means a recollection. Recollection. Let's keep writing. In this short discourse, from verse 12 to 14, in this short discourse, actually to 15, from verse 12 to 15, Peter used the word reminder or remembrance 3 times. You know, emphatically. I'll remind you. I'll put you in remembrance. I'll make sure you have a reminder. He used the word remind or remembrance 3 times. From 2 Peter 1, 12 to 15. Hallelujah. It shows a lot. It shows that a lot is dependent on being reminded. It shows that a lot is dependent on being reminded. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor for a while and say, feel at home. Look at your neighbor and say, feel at home. Look at your neighbor and say, this is class. You know, that might, you know, I said this before, that if many believers see themselves as students, this idea of our learning will not be strange. This is why people join church and then bring out your notes. You know, we've seen all kinds of reactions from first timers. Notes. Then you now go and get a note for him. Man looks at you. See, it does not know the essence of Christianity. Jesus did not say go into the world and make fans. Go into the world and do what? Make disciples. Who is a disciple? A student. Do you get what I'm saying? You won't feel awkward if you go to class and they tell you where is your... I mean, you won't even go without a note. And if you go without a note, you'll be hiding. So that the teacher does not notice you. But in church, people comfortably come to church, no Bible, self. Amen. No Bible. Say he's on my phone. Praise God. And then when you check the phone, you see WhatsApp. This pastor, Islam is long ago. I don't even know how I entered this church. All kinds of chats and discussions going on. Some people say, I'm writing my notes on my phone. Your phone that they can steal. And as they steal it like this, you know, Paul said to some folks in the early church, he said, bring along with you my parchments. Imagine if everything was stored on iPhone. What's the Lord here? Yeah? Praise God. Hallelujah. So, a lot is dependent on being reminded. Let's write this now. So your spiritual growth is a result of being taught and being reminded over and again. So your spiritual growth is a result of being taught and being reminded again. Your spiritual growth is a result of being taught and being reminded again. Over and again. Glory to God. Now verse 15, let's write. At verse 15, the word translated reminder is the Greek word that means memory. At verse 15, the word translated reminder is the Greek word that means memory. Memory. It's spelled M-N-E-M-E. Sounds like meme. M-N-E-M-E. So you just add N before the M, the first M. M-N-E-M-E. That it means memory. Apostle Peter is simply saying, that word means memory. Apostle Peter is simply saying that what commits the word of God to our memory is continuous teaching. Apostle Peter is simply saying that what commits God's word to our memory is continuous teaching. Glory to God. Continuous what? Teaching. He also shows us the outcome of being reminded. Apostle Peter is simply saying that what commits the word of God to memory is continuous teaching. And he also shows us the outcome of being reminded. The outcome of being what? Reminded. At 2 Peter 1, 15. Look at this now. The outcome of being reminded. So, you're going to spot it yourself. 2 Peter 1, 15. Are we all there? Oh, sorry. Verse 13. Are we all there now? Let's all read together. I want to go. One more time. No. Just verse 13. Let's go one more time. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to do what? Steer you up by reminding you. So what does reminding you do? Steer you up. Let's write. Steer you up. Reminding is what steers people up. The phrase steer up. The phrase steer up is the Greek word D-I-E-G-E-I-R-O. D-I-E-G-E-I-R-O. That's the phrase steer up. The Greek word D-I-E-G-E-I-R-O. Which means to arouse the mind. It means to arouse the mind. You know, when they say something is aroused, it stirs up feelings, emotions. It arouses the mind. It has a remarkable impact on the mind. Arouse the mind. It also means to render active. So whatever knowledge of God's word that you think you have, if you are under constant reminder, you are rendered active in that knowledge. You become effective and efficient to render active. It also means to animate. To animate. Oh God, to animate. What does it mean to animate something? To bring to life. So teaching, reminder, that's what it does. You know, for some now, I used to cite this example a lot. We are made righteous in Christ. We have all things in Christ. See, that stuff does not have the same effect on everybody that just heard what I just said. You might have heard it before, and then you hear it, and I just like. But for some, because they've heard it over and over again, it has brought life to their mind. It has made them active in that knowledge. And then when they hear it, it is not like every other person who are righteous. They know what it is. Do you get? Because see, they are walking in that reality. Glory be to God. Do you know that the end of knowing that you are God's righteousness in Christ is so you can bear fruits of righteousness? So if for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, you've heard it, and you're still struggling, fruit of the Spirit, you can't even find it. You are struggling. You can't say no. You know, we say you are now a slave of righteousness, and you can't still say no to sin and lust. In the midst of your struggle, you wake up to a scandal of a pastor, a renowned evangelist that was sleeping around, you know, and then you say, this thing is confirmed. And you are wondering, this thing is for real? So you are confused. But if you are born fruits of righteousness, if you have received the word of God till your life has been transformed, that knowledge, that insight, that simple statement, we are God's righteousness, will mean more to you. Do you get what I'm saying? Because see, you have walked in it in practical terms because of the knowledge of God's word. So that's what we're saying. It animates, it renders people active when we continually remind them of these things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's write this. Do you realize? Okay, this is just meant to be a discussion. Do you realize that people stop feeling excited about certain people they were very excited about before when they forget them? Huh? Do you know, how many of you remember when you were in love in primary 2? you didn't know. So, okay, you were too great. What about GSS class? Remember the person you loved? Anybody like that? Is your past tense? Is your old man? Praise God. So be free. Anybody? GSS class? Yes. Now, can you remember the person? When last did you even think of them? You've moved on. Glory to God. You've moved on. You know, one time Perez was showing me, I saw his picture in his room. Picture of part what now? Part 2 or part 1? And then I now saw a damsel. She held the damsel like this. I said, Emochi, who is this damsel? She said, those that I was really tripped. I said, this damsel, where is she now? I don't even know, Jerry. His feelings and emotions are already dead to her. Glory to God. Not feeling anything again. So, but you know what? If they reconnect today and he starts paying attention, do you know that the feelings can be awakened? They can. The key word is pay attention. Do you get it? That's the reason why people reunite with their ex and suddenly something starts. Somebody you said, I regret ever meeting you. You just started, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everything I did to you. Hello, how are you? Praise God. You will reconnect. Hello from the other side. Hallelujah. That's the same way it happens with spiritual knowledge. If you are dead to it, forget it. The first time you heard this, you are so excited. Now it's gone. Because it's what people are in touch with that has an effect on them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What about events? You know, there are certain things people have done to us. People have hurt us in time past, and it's not affecting you now until you remember. Or somebody tries to make you remember and dwell on it. Then it evokes the same feeling and thoughts. That is exactly how these things work. Glory to God. That's exactly how these things work. That's how they work. Let's keep writing. Peter used this phrase a second time. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1. Peter used this phrase a second time. Second Peter chapter 3 verse 1. Hallelujah. Bible says, beloved, I now write to you this second time, or this second epistle, in both of which I do what? I stir up your pure mind by way of reminder. Have you seen it again? It is reminder that steers people up. Stir up by way of reminder. Very key. So let's write. It's what you remember that has effect on you. It is what you remember that has effect on you. It is what you remember that has effect on you. See how Paul used this word at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3 to 5. It is what you remember that has effect on you. 2 Timothy 1, 3 to 5. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 1:3 to 5. Bible says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. So Paul shows us how remembering Timothy's commitment and faith brought a certain desire, a longing to see him. Reminder. Hallelujah. Reminder. So, that is exactly how being reminded of God's word has an effect on us. Now look at verse 6. Paul now says to Timothy, therefore, I remind you to do what? To stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying of the hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I remind you. I'm bringing to your mind again. I'm bringing to your memory. This is a different word entirely, which means to exhort. Let's write. The word remind you here, 2 Timothy 1:6, is a different Greek word, which means to exhort. Means to exhort. It also means to remember and weigh well and consider. To remember it. Weigh it well and consider it. Reminding you to not neglect the gift of God. Glory to God. It means to remember, it means to exhort to remember, to weigh well and consider. It's about pondering well on it. It's about pondering well on it. Hallelujah. It's about doing what? Pondering well on it. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:17. 1 Corinthians 4:17. See how this word is also used. Reminder. Very key. Because it's a major way people grow in the faith. 1 Corinthians 4:17. Hallelujah. Bible says, for this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. Who will do what? Remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. To remind them. Because reminding them, like we saw in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter rather, was going to do what? Stir them up. Look at Hebrews 10:32. Hebrews 10:32. Glory to God. Hebrews 10:32. See how the writer of Hebrews expected these men to repent. Hebrews 10:22. He says, but remember or recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. So it was showing them how there was a need for them to call to mind and remember the way they received the word, the way they struggled and resisted persecutions and went through hardship for the gospel. Remember those things. And by remembering those things, it was going to prompt repentance. Glory to God. Alright, let's keep writing. Let's keep writing. The truth is, we must never assume we are fine if we aren't reminded these things daily. The truth is, we must never assume we are fine if we aren't reminded these things daily. Glory to God. Truth is, we must never assume we are fine if we aren't reminded these things daily. Deolu, let's come. Follow her. Truth is, we must never assume we are fine if we are not reminded these things daily. Glory to God. Alright, look at 1 Timothy 4:12 to 16. First Timothy 4, 12 to 16. First Timothy 4, 12 to 16. Bible says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Hallelujah. Now, what can you observe from verse 12 to 16? From verse 12, okay, look at verse 12. What did Paul tell Timothy to do at verse 12? To do what? To be an example. Now, what did you notice in the preceding, in the following verses? What is that? What was he trying to do to him? No, take your time. What was he trying to do by that? He has given him an instruction. It appears as though he has given him a task or a job. Be an example, responsibility. So what followed that responsibility? The how. Praise God. The how. Because if Timothy misses verse 13, and particularly verse 13, 15 and 16, then he will struggle to be an example. Hallelujah. The way to be an example is to give attention to reading, exhortation, doctrine, to meditate on these things, to give himself entirely to them, to take heed to himself and to the doctrine. By so doing, he will do what? Save both himself and those who hear him. So, the how-to is what followed that instruction. So, we must never, trivialize the place of receiving God's word. So, let's write. The how to be an example... The how to be an example. The how to be an example is stated. The how to be an example is stated at verses 13, 15, and 16. The how to be an example, which is at verse 12, is stated at verses 13, 14, and 15. 13, 15, and 16. I'm still writing. The phrase give attention is the Greek word prosecho, P-R-O-S-E-C-H-O. The phrase give attention, P-R-O-S-E-C-H-O. Give attention, P-R-O-S-E-C-H-O. Which means to turn the mind to. It means to turn the mind to. So, you take your mind off every other thing and you focus on it. You turn your mind to it. You pay attention to it. It also means to be given to and addicted. Imagine that. To be given to something and addicted. When he says give attention to it, it means, Timothy, be addicted to God's word. Hallelujah. Be addicted to God's word. How many of you notice you can be addicted to your work? Most times you just think of addictions in the light of sinful habits. No, addiction is happening regularly in different things. People get addicted to their work. And your boss says, you can go home by 6:30. He says, no, don't worry. I'll go by 11. Praise God. He's already a lover of the work. Hallelujah. Pastor was telling me one time that he will wake up and first thing he will just go to the system and start drawing. Got so addicted to architectural designs. Whether there's a work or not, he shall look for something to do. Addiction. And it got so bad for him that he will not eat till maybe 4 and not remember. Addiction. Until you have ulcer. Amen. So, that's what Paul was telling Timothy. Be addicted to God's word. Give yourself to it to a point where it has now become an addiction. Let's keep writing. Be addicted to it. It also means to devote thought and effort to something. It means to devote thought and effort to something. To devote thought and effort to something. You are giving over to it. Glory to God. Let me ask you a question. On campus, do we know serious students? Do we know serious students on campus? Do we know students that are not serious? We know them. Hallelujah. Serious students. They get to class, they've taken front seat. By the time you come, 10 minutes after, everywhere is, they have taken front seat. They are the ones that teach, lecturer will say, so I'm going, any, there's no assignment. The man will say, can you give us an assignment, sir? Abu Yahweh. You're angry. Because in your own mind, you have prepared series. You want to go and see. You prepared food. You have hangout. Those ones, they are just jackass. Hallelujah. They are in school to learn. There are people they used to call bookworm. Mine is just, away. Glory to God. Some of them, the teacher will be going and say, I have question. Only one person in the class, like four questions. You know that everybody begins to beat the student because they are all unserious. Hallelujah. Some of the questions the person is asking may help you in the exam, but you're not appreciating it. You want to go. And it's not your fault. They forced you to write jump. You know, there are people left to themselves. They will not write the exam. They don't want to go. But there are people who went to school. Before they finished secondary school, they've been planning for their PhD. They just an example. Hallelujah. But there are people, me now, in the exam hall, one time, I was just writing song. I was too tired. What was all this? I began to compose song. 30 minutes into the exam, and I started writing. Because I was studying business administration. I know I will not do it. Praise God. It was not what I was looking for. It was what was available. So I just took it. So you don't expect such people to be very serious. So if you were following me and you have passion for your own cause, you just join me. Praise God. Hallelujah. So such people, they are not even looking for distinction. At all. No, it's not possible. But just do well and go. Glory to God. So we know serious students. They will go, even in the night, they will go and jack. Medical students are very intimidating. You see the books. One. Volume 4. Pack like this. To go and read. You, it's just one flat exercise book. Serious students. Jack all night. They gather sweet. One time I tried that. I lick all the sweet. I slept. It's not for me. Praise God. All right. See, for me, my greatest way of learning is to be in class and take notes, and if I listen, I'll pass. So that was it. So, but some people go and read in the night, showing extra effort. Take sweets, take wafers, biscuits, they will just do everything to be awake. Glory to God. Of course, some people will do all that at the end of the day. No. You know? Check the stuff like this. Is it my result? I bind every spirit of D or E after all night reading. Which is very great, because that means if you did not do all that, you know, it's very good. So, but the point is, we know serious students by their attitude. It's the same in the Christian faith. And I used to say this, if we visit a believer and I spend time with you, I live with you, and all through I cannot see any commitment. There's no commitment. No desire for study. There's no time you miss out. And I'm looking for you, and I knock your door, and you say, I'm busy. There's no time like that. You are always available. I'm going now. You participate in all my activities. Something is wrong. Glory to God. It requires commitment. It requires addiction. It requires being given over till it has an impact on your life. Glory to God. Let's continue. Look at 2 Peter 1:18-19. 2 Peter 1:18-19. Peter used the same word. Give heed or heed. Prosico. 2 Peter 1:18-19. Bible says, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to do what? To heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So he says, the prophetic scriptures, you do well to heed it as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns. Glory to God.
Until it means to give attention to it till Christ dominates your mind. Till Christ dominates your mindset, your thinking. It's taking over. Now let's write. Evidently, Christianity offers an education. Evidently, Christianity offers an education. Evidently, Christianity offers an education. I remember some years back, I wrote on my wall on Facebook, I said, have a table and a chair, discipline to receiving God's word. And people came and said, wow, great. Somebody said, is it that hard? You know, because you just think, In fact, such instructions or counsels look like you are going an extra mile. But that's a normal commitment. Maybe not have a chair or anything. The point is, have a student's posture. Amen. Christianity offers education. Let's keep writing. As we're in session this morning, are you not being educated? Yes. You know, it's not mere excitement. The way I respond to matters is as a result of the way I have been taught God's word. The way I undo issues is as a result of God's word. My mind, I'm a learned person in the things of God. So that's what we are saying. A man comes to church regularly and he becomes learned. He's not confused. Not that they say something, you say, only God knows. So, when is the Antichrist coming? I don't Google, no. Maybe it's my neighbor. I mean, no. God and Satan, they are working together. Really? Are you sure? Yes, so that's how God, last year, he told me, I'm going to break your leg. I said, what did I do? Say, I'll break it. If you provoke me now, I'll break it now. Say, what did I do? First, tell me what I did. You did not pay your offering. And then, brethren, lo and behold, as I was going to work that day, I fell inside the gutter. And my leg broke. And I was in the house for 3 months. The Lord was teaching me lessons. I was learning from it. I saw that, those who do not have leg, they are going through something. And those are the lessons you are learning. Must you break your leg before you know that those who don't have legs are going through something? Oh man, the man is talking as a spiritual illiterate. He doesn't know God because he has not paid attention to learning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Christianity offers an education, and this has to be understood. Now let's see. Hence the use of certain words to describe those who do not know. Hence the use of certain words to describe those who do not know. So much spiritual illiteracy in the body of Christ. Amen. So much. So much. The church has become a laughing stock. Because incoherent statements, things that don't follow. Hence the use of certain words to describe those who do not know. Number one, unlearned. You find that in scriptures. There are people referred to as unlearned. See, the man is unlearned. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. Unlearned. KJV says untaught. They are the same. Unlearned. 2 Peter 3, 15 to 16. Are we there? Unlearned. A man that does not... Are you lost? 2 Peter 3, 15 to 16. 2 Peter 3, 15 to 16. Look at that guy in yellow at the back there. Alright. So, what did he do? He stood up. Why did he stand up? Probably getting sleepy. Stand up. So, that's an attitude. Not we sleep. Let me go home. Remember your bed immediately. Praise God. If I was home now, No. An attitude of learning. So you get up, you shake your body, you stretch, you go back, you keep writing. So they are referred to as unlearned. 2 Peter 3, 15 to 16. Hallelujah. Bible says, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people, the word untaught there is the word unlearned in KJV, which unlearned, untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Unlearned. Look at 1 That's the word that means ignorant. A-M-A-T-H-E-S, amatis, in the Greek. It means ignorant. The man is ignorant because he has not been taught. He's considered to be unlearned. Look at this other one. At 1 Corinthians 14:16. 1 Corinthians 14:16-24. 1 Corinthians 14:16-24. You have the word uninformed. 1 Corinthians 16:23-24. You have the word uninformed. An uninformed man. An uninformed man. That's the Greek word idiotis. It actually means idiot. Idiotis. If you check the Strong's, it says idiot. So, idiotis. But it's not an insult. It's descriptive of the state of a man. So, idiotis, just add ES to idiot. Yes. You know, I told you many of our words came from other languages. So, idiotis, which in the New Testament is used for unlearned and illiterate people. Idiotis, unlearned, which in the New Testament is used for unlearned and illiterate people. Unlearned and illiterate people, as opposed to the learned and educated. As opposed to the learned and educated. You know, that's the same word used to describe an illiterate even in secular things. Acts 14:13, they looked at John and Peter and they perceived that they were uneducated men. But they knew they had been with Jesus. So even for secular stuff and spiritual, it's the same word. It means the man is not literate. So you can't, see, you can't look at all these descriptions and assume that the Christian faith is where we just come sit down and we're just whiling away time. There's literacy. Hallelujah. When we say a man is literate in the things of God, he has understanding. He knows as he ought to know. So let's write. So I must realize that the Christian faith offers education. You know, next week I'm going to walk us through, I'm going to show us from Old Testament how to see that God is pro-education. God. Pro-education. Everything of God's dealings with men has always been about education. 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 Men knowing, learning, studying. From Old Testament till now. So I must realize that the Christian faith offers education. Spiritual education. Offer spiritual education that must be pursued with the attitude of a student. Spiritual education that must be pursued with the attitude of a student. I must realize that the Christian faith offers spiritual education that must be pursued with the attitude of a student. Look at Matthew 11:28-30. Look at this. That's what the Christian faith offers, an education. Jesus' invitation to men is to come and learn. That's education. Come and learn. Come and understand. Come and study. Glory to God. Come and study. Hallelujah. Interesting. You know, it's interesting. We're going to see that in today's teaching. It's interesting that there are less instructions on prayer in the Bible, in the New Testament. Less instructions on prayer. Make sure you are praying. We're going to see how prayer was mentioned in from Acts of Apostles down to all the epistles. You will see there's a contrast. There's much emphasis on the need to be taught, less emphasis on you to pray. And there's a reason. So though prayer is mentioned several times, there's a way prayer was mentioned. And we're going to see that today. So because it's first about educating your mind, learning. How many of us remember that the disciples of Jesus were not taught how to pray? They came to meet him. Master, please teach us how to. He was just busy teaching them. Because that is the foundation for everything. Being taught. So, Matthew 11, what's in there? Come unto me, all ye that what? And I have ye, and I'll give you what? What's the next one? Learn of, I am what? Lowly in heart. And you'll find rest. My burden is light and my yoke is easy, and you find rest for your souls. So he says to, what is the invitation? Come to me to come and do what? Learn. Come and learn. Hallelujah. Come and learn. So guys, See, the place to expend your energy the most is in the place of study. When we come for church service like this, where you want to spend the most of your energy is in learning. Every other thing follows. Many of the people who think we are extreme because we are doing 1 hour, 30 minutes, 2 hours teaching will not survive the ministry of Jesus. That man taught people for 3 days. He taught people from morning, evening. You will not survive it. And don't assume that such teaching models don't exist, even in the world. There are professional courses, they will teach you 10 hours straight, 16 hours, and you are there. So because, see, learning is critical to how you live your life, how you, you know, gain mastery or skill in anything. So he says to come and learn. Let's write. The word learn is the Greek word mantano. The word learn is the Greek word mantano. M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O. M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O. Which means to be informed. To learn. Mantano. Which means to be informed. It means to be increased in one's knowledge. To be informed. To be increased in one's knowledge. Hallelujah. See how this is used. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. To learn. So you read scriptures, you find emphasis on there's a need to learn, there's a need to learn, and you still think it's a relaxed, passive thing. No. It's an educational system where men are being taught systematically, line upon line, precept upon precept. Judaism of the Old Testament has a better standard for teaching than many churches today. Churches of Christ. Judaism. Omo. Serious learning. The problem was that they did not understand most of the things they were learning. They were misreading. But they had devotion. Jesus at John 5:39 did not say they should go and search the scriptures. He says, you search the scriptures. You already do. Because in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they who testify of me. They were given to study. Sabbath day. All those synagogue teachings. They didn't go to synagogue today and be doing choreography. It was teaching, searching scriptures, trying to find out things. But at the end of the day, it gendered into teaching laws and commandments of men. So it's an educational system. Christianity must be appreciated like that if you will make progress. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14:31. Go and mark these words. In the next 5-10 years, in the next 5-10 years, we are going to witness a radical shift in how church is done in Nigeria. Glory to God. And you know what? We're going to see the fruits. In fact, what will drive men to make that shift will be the results. The fruits that we're going to see. Now, I showed you last week how that the early church, they taught people every day. Acts of Apostles 19, Acts of Apostles 17, Acts 20. Paul says, I taught you for 3 years every day. Imagine the remarkable results. Jesus himself taught his disciples every day for 3.5 years. See the result. On the day of Pentecost, those men were already skilled, strong. Hallelujah. Let me say this. Do you know that if you listen today and you don't listen until next week, do you know that what you listened to last week will not affect you? You know, people think, hey, if I learn it every week. No. There's a lot through the week that will wash it away from your mind. So even that one you heard last week will not make impact. So what has happened to the church is that we are going round and round in cycles. You were really edified in the meeting. By the time you are coming back to church, depressed, downcast, forsaken, afflicted, persecuted, abandoned. Glory to God. Let us begin to worship God. Do you know how great our God is? Do you know how powerful? Thank you, Jesus. It's powerful. Then we preach. You are pumped up again. Service, very great. Too great. You come back. Haven't you noticed that's the problem? You come back again next week. You are back to the same spot where we have to wind you and rewind and psych you. Some people are in the prison. Some people are dead and you don't want to die. That's true. Thank you, Jesus. In the land of the living, we keep praising your name. You go back. You come back next week, you are back to the same spot. You are meant to come back with fire. Hallelujah. You're meant to come back edified the same way you went. In fact, better than you left today. But that will not happen until we listen to God's word every day and pay attention. And we are growing. Glory to God. So even the weekly meetings will not impact people. It will not. So we have to rediscover learning in the body of Christ. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14:31. Why must they say somebody has died before you start praising God? Some are food but cannot eat. Oh, they log me. Want to go and pick their food? Some can eat but have no food. We have food. What kind of thing is that? Do you know the meaning of kama yoyo? That's what you just did. You are mocking others. We have food and we can eat. Glory be to thee, O Lord. God will be glorified when you now take your food to go and give to those who can eat but have no food. Those who have food and cannot eat, to join them in their problem and help them get through it till they can eat. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, when we were young, I just remember something now. When we were younger, we would go and visit my mommy in the hospital. She had some admissions then. It was not to greet her. We knew they must have bought Milo and all those things. And then she would have something she could not eat. So we'd just be like, Mommy, how is your body? Mommy, what is this? She will look at it like this. Do you want? Yes. Balance is the thing. We're going home. We did not really care about whether she was recovering. We didn't even know whether. I'm not pretending. Sickness. We didn't know much about it. Hallelujah. Sometimes we pretend to be sick also when we're young. Because my mom had a supermarket. So we pretend to be sick because when we are sick, she would tell us to come. She ran a supermarket she ran a pharmacy that also had all those provisions and all that. So we know that when we are sick, she would say we should come over to the shop, stay with her. So we are sick like this. And suddenly you are just getting well. You are recovering in the shop. Pick Ribena. Pick it. Buy you scary in the night. Scary is fried yam. And eat. And all that. So, if people are not well, what are we meant to do? Pray for them. If people are well and they don't have food, what are we meant to do? Provide support. If you cannot, then don't mock them. But those are the things we use to steer up Christians today. 31st. Some people, do you know some people could not cross over? Some people, and that's when the people will now be praying. It's illiteracy. It's a sign we are not growing. Hallelujah. It's not about those who could not cross over. It's not about yourself that is about to, do you know what you're about to cross over into? Who knew what we were crossing over in 2020? Pandemic. Hallelujah. Some people, if they knew, they would have stayed back in 2019. I will not go. They will be pushing you like that. I will not cross. You will not go. But you were so excited. Making resolution. This year. This year. Nothing worked out. Hallelujah. Plans were suspended. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't mind that pastor that said he's printing money with tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:31. He was just joking. You go and trust it. You tongue like this. In fact, that's if you tongue and you don't go and work, that's when you not see money. 1 Corinthians 14:31. Hallelujah. Look at this. Bible says, for you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be what? Encouraged. Hallelujah. You know, that thing I just said now. When I watched that video, I said, people will take this thing to be serious. So when you are praying in tongues, you are printing money. The man was not saying you are printing money. It was a manner of speaking. He was responding to his critics who were saying, it's like this man has printing machine in his house. Since he's flourishing in spite of whatever. So he said, I have printing machine. When I pray in tongues. So he was just responding. Don't go and take it literally. Oh, praise God. Otherwise, there will be no money. And some people believe in miracle money. Money will just fall into your house. Psst. You open your drawer, you see clean notes. Blood money. Praise God. If you see clean notes in your drawer, shouldn't you run out? And you will pick it and be spending. Is it that of two things? Maybe they came to rob in your neighborhood, and as they were trying to escape, they jumped into your room. They put it there. They are coming back in the night. The moment you see that kind of thing, you run out of the house, go and call police, and they must assign two security men to your house. Because it's not from angel. Hallelujah. Angel, you don't watch Yoruba film. Somebody has dropped money. He's thief. Hallelujah. So, it says that we all may do what? May learn. Even in our prophesying, what are we doing? We're learning. We're teaching. We're being taught. We're encouraged. We are motivated. Look at this other place. Romans 16:17. Romans 16:17. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 16:17. Now I urge you, brethren, not those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. What did you do with the doctrine? You learned it. So, doctrine is learned. Abi? Okay, I don't really have a grasp of doctrine, because you have not learned it. Doctrine is not learned passively. It's not something you are not paying attention to. You take time to learn it. What is the doctrine of Christ? What is the gospel? And you are learning, and you are taking your time to receive meaningful information that eventually makes sense to you. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:20. Bible says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You have not so learned Christ. Philippians 4:9. Bible says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. How? Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard. The way to do those things is to meditate, to think on them. It's about study. Glory to God. So you see, learning is important. Look at Colossians 1:7. And I say this often, if you go to church and you are not feeling like a student, then that church is not a church. That's not the church of Christ. The church of Christ is built on knowledge. It's a learning institution. So when I go to church, I want to feel like I'm learning. In 2006, I was in Ijebu-Ode, and I used to attend one of these popular churches then. I would go to church. Pastor would sit down like this. Comedian would come. They would start, everybody laugh. We'll have choreographers. Do oh man. People are entertained. The pastor will now come on stage. I will not waste your time. In the next film, you will be out of here. You wasted our time. If I want to watch comedy, you think it's church I will come to? Hallelujah. Some of those comedies in church are very evil, very dry. All he has as material is to make mockery of pastor's preaching. Tongues. And that's his material. To turn gospel song to another thing. I would rather go and watch Trevor Noah. Praise God. Why should I come to church? Choreography. So you wasted our time. You are now coming. I don't want to waste your time. One day the comedian was saying things. The pastor laugh. If you die like this, if you die like this, you appear before Jesus like this. How did you die, Reverend? Sit down here. In our church, it was comedy Sunday. It's comedy that killed you. Not like Paul, where I finished my race, I fought a good fight. You died because you were watching comedy in church on Sunday. Doesn't make sense. So I had to leave the place. What's happening here? No change, no teaching. And you know, the effects are on the people. You now find all kinds of funny behaviors and attitudes. The pastor will now be short. I don't know what else we can do. What have you been doing? I don't know what else to do to make people grow. Do you think you were doing anything? You were busy entertaining goats. You know, they're feeding the sheep. You were entertaining people. You were just having a nice time in church. There's no room. Kedah said, God help you if your boss go and listen to this message. You know, Kedah said, somebody in our office, said, called another person and said, "Elder, so killer le she ni Sunday here again. Again. She ain't what in Love Beach last time. Ibo la to killer to le she. They're already tired. I want you to hear, because if I say, are you not youth here? Because if I say, Jacko Duro. So what in Love Beach? Killer to le she. Let's bring people from different business world to come and do training for them. After that, they will now sit down. What can we do? Let's just do popcorn Sunday. Give everybody popcorn. They can even play with it. Who will first finish? You know? The church is so dry. People are dry. People are bored. Hallelujah. After popcorn Sunday, say, free time with your pastor. Any question? Not spiritual matters. Feel free. What did you study in school? I studied elect. How did you cope with elect? So how are you now using it now? I put our media department through. They are just bored. Praise God. Bring somebody from the audience to come and do relationship talk. That one too. The relationship is having Kelego. He will come and do relationship talk. Just to keep church going. Till one day, everybody is tired. In this Nigeria, they will see stone pastors. I promise you. Pastor, you are breeding people. Do you know in Jerusalem, those who came to eat bread and do other things, they were saying, crucify him, crucify him. Disciples were people that ran away and were praying and they were behind the doors. The multitudes that were eating and seeing miracles, they crucify him. Away with this person. Away. That's how they will stone pastors. Glory to God. Because it's about what you put in that will change you. Glory to God. The reason why you will not think evil of me is because your heart is already changed. But if not, I'm a near our sinuni. And you see, strategically. I'm saying, the pastor, that's joy. Come on, sorrow, say, you're praise God. Is it because it's the one holding the mic? One day, oh my God, oh man of grievances. My mom went to visit one of our relative, and then she said, we're already in church, come and meet me in church. Got to church, so she stayed waiting for her, and as she was driving in with her car, two ladies were there. Say no manner. They didn't know my mom was her sister, so as she came down from the car, she moved, and then those two ladies, Dickiness, unicorn. Mama Mitosho, evil men in the church. We have raised criminals. Because what changes people's life is the knowledge of Christ. On a daily basis, regular, men's lives are being changed. Hallelujah. Men's lives are being changed. I shouldn't be able to see anything behind you that I cannot see before you. And when I notice you are doing something or you are missing it in your work, I should be able to walk up to you freely as a brother in Christ and say, I think you can adjust. I think you can. There should be no hypocrisy. Bible says, let love be without hypocrisy or dissimulation. But that's the setting of the church today because we have not gotten it right with teaching. Glory to God. That's just a very brief diagnosis or x-ray of the state of the church. Things are worse than I just said. Things are worse. No, we're at the member's house this last week, and the pastor was saying, our pastor in Kiniko, out of Nigeria, in Nigeria, and it's not new. In this community, there was a pastor, they gave money for church project. He collected all the money like this, and raptured. They've not seen him till date. The chariot of fire that carried Elijah just carried him. The moment he collected the money, he just went into heaven. Praise God. They've not seen him. A pastor. Hallelujah. Elders in the church. A relative of us, a Muslim, went to sell his car. He went to deliver something for a church project. They got there. They now negotiated, say, apart from buying this stuff, apart from helping us with service, let us also buy your car. You didn't tell me now. We are telling you now, we buy cars. We buy cars for service. Okay. How much? Negotiated. Okay, good. Elders of church, when they were done, say, what will we write in the receipt is not the actual cost. So they now doubled the cost. A Muslim. So he said, he was looking at them like, He said, yes, yes. That's, if you are not interested, you go. He had to write it, collected his own money, and they will now tender that to the church. And you know, Olegbani, praise God. And after collecting all the offerings and you are spending it alone, they will also devise means to get it back. So the man came back and said, ah, Christians, you are just deceiving yourself. I'm just coming from Kiniko. And we were shocked. A Muslim, look at his testimony about the church. When would such happen? Because priority is not given to God's word. So until we go back to learning God's word like we should, don't let us expect any change. The average Christian thinks we are saying, pretend to be a Christian. That's the mindset though. Ah, bro, you are very angry, bro now. Ah, why are you angry? Don't be angry. He now calms down. Why should you be angry? Emoji. So he now calms down. He's very angry. He can't wait for you to leave. But he's coding, he's trying to put this under. That's not what we are teaching, no. Hallelujah. Not that you cannot control your tongue. You talk to people anyhow. But when we're around you, you know, God bless you. Praise God. What wanted to come out is God curse you. You know, some people will say, Olorire. What he said inside is Olori Buruku. Were. That's what he said inside. We now see the writing outside. The man is angry. We are not teaching that people should pretend. We are teaching that people should be transformed. There are two different things. Where there is no, you are not trying to do it and you are now fighting, wrestling. There's a change. The same way a non-believer does not force sin and force evil conduct. That's the way the believer should express righteousness naturally. But that will not come without us giving ourselves to the word of God. Like we should. God's word is food to our belly. It's food to our mind. It nourishes us. God's word. Glory to God. Colossians 1:7. These are very important things. And if we live by this, in a few months, we will see a radical transformation. In a few years, much more transformation. Glory to God. Much more transformation. You know, someone said to me, the past 2 weeks, I did not even know how I stopped worrying and stopped getting pressured about certain things. I said, you will not know. That's what is called transformation. It will just die. Hallelujah. It's the same with habits. It will just die. Commitment every day. Receiving God's word every day. Your mind is renovated. Hallelujah. Your mind is renovated. And then you will now be wondering, so it's possible to live this way as a Christian. It is. It is the power of God's Spirit. Colossians 1:7. I'll start from verse 3 for context sake. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard in before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. What was bringing forth fruit among them? Look at your Bibles again. Verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit. What is bringing forth fruit? The word, the message itself, is what is birthing transformation, bearing fruit in the midst of men. It says, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Verse 7, as you also learned. Is that in your Bible? As you also did what? Learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. Have you seen that? Learning. Who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf? Look at 2 Timothy 3:14. 2 Timothy 3:14. You know, you come for teaching meetings like this, you get your water beside you. You get a bottle of water. If you know you can't stay long without taking water, getting hydrated, you get it, put it beside you. The only thing that's not permitted is Chicken Republic. Or any other restaurant. I don't want to see plates. But you can have water. Some people take this to the extreme. Come and study. Come with the attitude of student. You can come next week in poly back. Popcorn, chin. I want to endure training. You know. Just water. Or chewing gum. So, learning is key. 2 Timothy 3:14. Hallelujah! 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. We are going to have all night jacking the word. All night. Friday. You just go and converge in a place, in a somebody's house. We call it campuses. You just stay there. All night we listen to God's word. We are taking notes. We help ourselves. If you are feeling tired, we help you. We'll get you up. We'll train you. Glory to God. After that meeting, your life will not remain the same. And that after that day, you now still go to your house and still go and listen to one of the recommended teachings. And also, you are bombarded with the knowledge of Christ. That one is not information overload. That one is study. Glory to God. Study. 2 Timothy 3, 14. Perez looked at me last week and said, "It's either you stay or you go." The way we are going. I said, "Yes." You don't know that in the early church, people could not join them because of their mode of learning. They are not ready for learning. If you come here and you think it's to get every other thing apart from study, you will not cope. And when you go, God will not say, "Why? Why did you not care?" No, that's what he sent us to do. So, and if you don't get yourself ready for that, we don't hold you anything. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3:14. What's there? "You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them." Learned. Very important. So let's write. So, what Christ offers is learning. What Christ offers is learning. What Christ offers is learning. My Bible, something fell off. Okay. What? It was his pen. What Christ offers is learning. Hallelujah. Learning. Salvation comes by it. Spiritual growth also comes by it. Salvation comes by it. Spiritual growth also comes by it. Glory to God. Yeah. It's in learning people find salvation. Have you noticed? Jesus said to them, John 6, "Labor not for the food that perishes, but for that which endures to everlasting life." The food that endures to everlasting life is the word. He now says they should labor for it. They should labor to receive it. So, for people to even be saved, there's a level of commitment required for them to receive God's word. Acts 17, 11 to 12, the Bereans. Bible says, "And they search the word, the scriptures, daily with all readiness." And that's how verse 12, many of them believed. There's efforts put in place. People who start listening for this, the disciples, for instance, when Jesus rose again from the dead, 40 days teaching, you think it's a joke? Daily. And he was teaching, and he was teaching, and he was teaching. So, the effort required to be saved is also required to receive spiritual growth. That's why Colossians 2, 6 to 7, let's turn our Bibles there. The same model. The learning that begs salvation is the learning that begs spiritual growth. You must not depart from it. Hallelujah. You must not depart from it. You see, many of us were deceived, including the pastor. We were just deceived to think we could listen once in a while, do service, do study here and there, and we'll be growing well. No, my life changed when I discovered, hey, it's a daily thing. And even after discovering it, I still lost it. Hallelujah. Yeah, because it was never deliberate. I never saw it as a deliberate thing. I just thought that one, I was doing retreat. So I still lost that commitment till I rediscovered it again. Do you understand? And then you now see the result of such commitment. It's different. Every day with the word, and once in a while, they are miles apart. Glory to God. Also, listening and not taking notes, listening and taking notes, they are miles apart. How many of you can bear witness to that? They are miles apart. Miles apart. Hallelujah. So that's the attitude to learn. Colossians 2, 6 to 7. "As you therefore have received what? The Lord Jesus. So walk, being rooted, built up, and established in it, abounding in the same way what? As you have been." It says the same way you receive Christ is how you should what? Continue in him. So you got saved because you listened. Do you know, let me say this. Do you know salvation is not found by some very spontaneous or very rushed teachings? Just go by the roadside. Jesus died for your sins. You are saved. You are saved. Do you believe? I believe. He's not saved. Bible says, when a man hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, Satan comes and takes what was sown into his heart and it becomes unfruitful. So understanding is what saves. Not say after me. Jesus died for me. He died for me. He died. He doesn't know what you are saying. So that's why in telling us to go and preach the gospel, what Jesus said was go into the world and make disciples. You know, that does not start with the church. Even so, winning is discipleship. So you take your time to teach. Acts of Apostles, several times, we see how that the apostles went into the synagogue and taught for months. Bible says, and they reasoned in the synagogue for 3 months. Many of them still did not believe. Then he withdrew from them and went to the school of Tyrannus with 12 men, and he taught them every day for 2 years. So discipleship begins at the point where we are reaching men with the gospel to be saved. Hallelujah. Not that we are trying to rig people into the Christian faith just to make church big. Have you believed now? I believed. That's not believing. Believing is preaching till conviction is born in the heart of the hearer. So discipleship, learning, is what brings salvation and spiritual growth. Learning is actually the master key. Praise God. No, say prayer is the key. It's the master key. Jesus started with prayer. And Jesus did not start with prayer. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus did not start with prayer. The master key is learning. Jesus started with the word. So you continue to receive God's word. Jesus started with the word and continued. You know, I told you this before. That isn't it amazing that Jesus never taught his disciples how to pray? He didn't bother. He just kept teaching them. On the day of Pentecost, what happened to the disciples? Do you know that after the arrest of Jesus, the next time we're going to see the disciples pray was on the day, was after his ascension till the day of Pentecost. The last time we saw them pray before then was the garden experience. Did you see those men? You see how they prayed? That for 1 hour, they could not stay. Can't you watch with me for just 1 hour? We'll watch. We're instructed, sir. Praise God. He goes again. You can't even pray. The flesh is weak. The spirit is willing. But look at from the day Jesus was taken away. Transformed men. Bible says from Acts 1:14, they prayed consistently. They continued in prayer and supplication. All of them. On the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1, they were all with one accord. They were praying. They had become prayerful men. What do you think happened to them? 40 days teaching. Jesus taught them. Their understanding opened, and he now kept teaching them till he left. At that point when he left them, they were already edified. They were already full of God's word. They could pray. Hallelujah. They could pray. I remember we went for one VG at some point, and by the time it was time for VG, we were all asleep. And the person that organized the VG now woke up around 3 a.m. Woke up 3. We are here to pray, brethren. What happened? Then I began to wake everybody. Praise God. We slept off. It even happened here once. Some years back, people came here for VG. People slept. They woke up around 2 a.m. Hey, what's going on here? Everyone, let's pray. Why are you asleep? Why are you asleep too? Everybody slept. Hallelujah. Hey, there was no burning passion. I said to somebody, before we came for school of prayer yesterday, I already woke up 5 a.m. and I was praying. I'm coming for school of prayer, I now wake up 8, or I wake up 7, I'm dreading the experience. That's the experience of some people who did not feed on God's word. They're already dreading the experience. 6 hours prayer. Taluma labai. Praise God. God, you shall help me. God, you shall help. I know he never leaves me. Praise God. You know, you're already overthinking the matter. Because your mind is disconnected from God's word. Hallelujah. And then you come here, you now be praying. And you know, yesterday we had a great time. People prayed. We had a great turnout of people. And then people prayed well. The right attitude, all true. That was not forced. Amen. It was not forced. It's because of the state. People prayed better than they used to pray in previous school of prayers. In fact, by the third hour, back then, people are already tired, used up, looking around. Praise God. This church needs renovation. It's already minding other businesses. Oh, the more. It is the problem. He's not enjoying prayer. His mind is on many things. Amen. So, but when the word of God fills your heart, you don't even know time has gone. When I said the last hour will start in the next 20 minutes, somebody looked up. Last hour, okay. We're already in the last hour. Yes. Because your mind was engaged, you were enjoying prayer. So Jesus didn't bother to teach them prayer, many things. He just kept teaching God's word. And 40 days he taught them God's word. He left them, they were prayerful. By the time he was leaving, that was the model for the church. Acts 42, they all continued in prayer. Prayer was not a problem again. Peter, Acts 6:4, will give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and to prayer was never a problem again. Glory to God. Because of their intake of God's word. Hallelujah. Their intake of God's word. Would you give God's word a chance? Amen. Would you give God's word a chance? A month, two, three, four, five, six, seven. And let's see the impact that would have in your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not closing. Acts 11, 25 to 26. Now when the preacher starts talking softly like that, until they round off. No. Acts 11, 25 to 26. Glory to God. Acts 11, 25 to 26. Are we all there? So what's in there? Acts 11, 25 to 26. Let's all read. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Look at the place they first referred to people as Christians. What was the activity going on there? Teaching. For a whole year, they kept meeting them, teaching them every day. And people were seeing them, okay, these are Christians. Hallelujah. These are Christians. Their doctrine, the knowledge, everything. It was not really about the lifestyle first. It was about what they were doing, the activity. They were committed to doctrine. The doctrine of Christ. You come in their midst, you hear them teaching Jesus. You know, oh, they belong to Christ. Teaching. It's such a thing that stands, you know, the church out from every other sect. Teaching Christ, actually. Because every other religion also thrives on knowledge. Teaching. The Muslims that are the hardest to convince are the ones that learned. You know, they call them Islamic scholars. They are the ones that are hard to persuade. So, if an Islamic scholar meets a Christian on scholar, praise God, he will convert him. He will convert him. Knowledge. Very, very, very important. Let's write this now. Let's write this now. So all this show us that this is an educational institution. All this show us that this is an educational institution. This is an educational institution. All this show us that this is an educational institution. What are you doing? Not writing. Okpe Emi. What are you doing? Not writing. Get a note and a pen. And I'm going to see your note after the meeting. Acts 11. Okay, we've seen that. So it's an educational institution. A general term for spiritual leaders is teachers. Imagine that. Teachers. A general term for spiritual leaders is teachers. 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 What does that suggest to you? We're still writing. General term for spiritual leaders is teachers. What does that suggest to you? We're still writing. That our primary responsibility is to feed men with knowledge and understanding. What does that suggest to you? That our primary responsibility is to feed men with knowledge and understanding. I mean, the pastor is called a teacher. He's a teacher. So he's meant to come to church as a teacher. Not an entertainer. Not anything, as a teacher of God's word. Glory to God. Look at Jeremiah 3:15. We'll just read through a few verses of the Bible. Jeremiah 3:15. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. Are we all there? Now let's read together. I want to go. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with what? Knowledge and understanding. What are they going to feed you with? Knowledge and understanding. That's the work of a pastor. To feed with knowledge and understanding. Look at Jeremiah 23, verse 4. Jeremiah 23 and verse 4. Jeremiah 23, 4. Hallelujah. Are we there? Let's all read together. I want to go. I'll set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall what? Fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Have you seen the result of being fed? They will fear no more. They will not be dismayed. No confusion. Clarity, strength, boldness, and they will lack no more. Hallelujah. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34, 23. Ezekiel 34 and verse 23. Glory to God. Ezekiel 34, 23. So, shortly in this church, we are going to be printing textbooks. Hallelujah. For study. So, as we are recommending tapes, we recommend a textbook for the month where you are going to study. You just read and study on your own. And you read and study and study. Education. The light of God and ignorance, they are in form of knowledge. I hope you know. When we say there will be light, what we are saying is people will be enlightened. So if there's going to be the shining of God's light, or God's light is going to take over the heart of a man, such a man must be after the knowledge of God and be enlightened. Jeremiah 34:23. And that is the legacy we are going to hand over to the next generation. Hallelujah. They will know the faith as an educational institution. 34:23. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. So you see the importance of feeding as a shepherd. Feeding. Let's write now. Evidently, the primary assignment of the shepherds is not even to organize prayer meetings. Evidently, the primary assignment of the shepherds is not even to organize prayer meetings. Is organizing prayer meetings bad? No. We had one yesterday. Evidently, the primary responsibility of the shepherds is not even to organize prayer meetings or provide financial support. You know, sometimes people just think the church is a charity organization. Some people have come in here, tried to guilt trip us, and those are the kind of people I don't support. When you come and say, church, is it not church that is meant to be up? What kind of entitlement mentality is this? Glory to God. People who come for help and in need of help, we can help them. But when a man begins to say, I came here because this is church, I believe church should be supportive. Stop. Praise God. Several years back, somebody sent a text to my dad, said she's in need of 25,000 or maybe 30,000 naira. So my dad replied and said, I don't have money. Then, unbelievably, the second day, we just saw a couple of text messages. The first one, the one that sees a poor and does not help, reproaches his maker. The one that has something and does not give is stingy. Wrote all that and said, so I ask all over again, can you please support me? My dad was very angry. Called that way, hello ma, kilode. With causes. Entitlement mentality. The church is not a charity organization. What we hope people first is the knowledge of God's word. And see, they can walk away if they think they are not getting every other thing. We are not paying attention to them. We are not supporting them because they are not ready to learn. They can walk away and will feel no guilt. Praise God. No guilt. Yeah, pastors, what are pastors meant to be doing? Churches, are they not meant to be fixing road? We are not meant to fix road. It's the truth. We are not meant to fix electricity. Even we too, we are using gen. Praise God. What we are meant to do to people is to feed them with the knowledge of God's word. Now, the people under the care of the church are the people we are even responsible for in certain matters. Support. And all. Nobody in this world should be laying claim to an entitlement, something that you think you deserve because this is the church. No. Hallelujah. So what we hope people is knowledge. That's why Jesus could allow people walk away. This is the hard doctrine. Who can take it? This is, don't go. We'll serve meat pie. Praise God. They walked away. No. What he came for was to teach. If we are running a charity organization, that's a different thing entirely, but the church of God is for teaching. Have you seen all the instructions on being hospitable and giving? You see, most of them are about the saints. Hallelujah. They're first about the saints. It's not first about outsiders. We take that culture from here out. But then it is first about the saints. So because our primary work as pastors is to teach men, to preach and teach, disciple people. So imagine, at the back of my own mind, whenever I think of myself as a pastor, I'm just thinking of myself as a teacher. That's all. It informs how I go about teaching. It informs how I prepare for every meeting. I'm a teacher of God's word. Glory to God. And people are coming here to learn. Because I know that learning is the most important thing that we need as a church. So I said, evidently, the assignment of shepherds is not even to organize prayer meetings or provide financial support. Let's write this also. It is not also to mobilize people for ministry. That's not the primary assignment. It is not also to mobilize people for ministry. It is not also to mobilize people for ministry. It is first about feeding the flock with knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. It is first about what? Feeding the flock with knowledge and understanding. In case you don't know, there were those who were in this church before that left, not because we offended them, not because we did them any wrong, not because we hurt them, but because they thought our own was too much. This teaching. I don't really have, they've left. Others have come in to take their seats. Amen. See, when we were making a decision to come, to start be having long services, people had mixed feelings. But I said, see, if it is 10 people that will be here, that will really learn, then we have a business together. We will shake the world together. Hallelujah. I was sure about it. So I preferred that than a congregation of 1,000 people that we are trying to not, we don't want to inconvenience them. We don't know whether if we stretch the sermon beyond 30 minutes, they will go. No, they should rather just go. So we can have people who are ready to learn. And as we keep learning, we are growing together. And as we are growing together, we will make impact together in the world. Glory to God. That's how these things are. So it's first about knowledge and understanding. See how Christ prioritized this. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. Mark 3:14. And like I said yesterday, several pastors are already tired. They don't even know what to do. Because the system is evidently not working. The average Christian cannot even quote 5 verses of the Bible. He cannot. To save himself. Mark chapter 3 verse 14. The system is not working. Poor standard. And it affected all of us. You know, but a rediscovery is what we're making. And we have to come out of it. Come out of that system. It's not working. Mark 3:14. Glory to God. Look at this priority. Jesus, Bible says, then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Have you seen the order? What was the first thing? To be with him. In being with him, they are learning, they are growing, he's teaching them, instructing them, then he sends them out to preach. So the first work is not to mobilize you for ministry, it's to first teach. Because what would you preach if you are not well taught? What would you say? Would you know how to even answer people? So it's first about teaching. So that's the first work of the pastor. And that's what we do every meeting time. That's what we do every day with those recommended teachings. John 21:15-17. As I begin to close. John 21:15-17. See, it's first about feeding. Are we all there? John 21:15-17. John 21:15-17. Are we there now? Yeah, let's read. Want to go? Short time. Have you noticed that Jesus did not even bother to respond to, you know what is now? Why are you? He didn't bother. Have you noticed? Feed my lamb. Do you love me more than I did? I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me more than he was grieved? You know I love you more than tend my sheep. That's, see, that is the instruction. That was all he was trying to get across to him. Feed my sheep. Because that is the work of a shepherd. Glory to God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. I still have 3 pages of my notes. We'll continue next week. But let's see this. 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. Some Sundays we're going to have extended teachings. So when we're done, you just stretch your leg, take water, get something to eat, something light. And we'll fall in again. I teach. And lives will not remain the same. 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. Are you there? So what does he say? All scripture is given. And what? And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every... So what furnishes a man for every good work? Scriptures. Have you noticed he didn't mention prayer? Why? Prayer is part of the every good work. Glory to God. Did you get what I said? Prayer is part of the every good work that the scriptures furnishes you for. Without God's word, you will not even be able to pray effectively. So, do you know prayer is work? Prayer is work now. Epaphras, one of you, laboring fervently for you in prayers. Prayer is work, it's labor. But it is God's word, it's the scriptures that furnishes us for all this. Hallelujah. The scriptures. So he didn't mention prayer. Let's write. Did you notice? It's the scriptures that get the job done. Did you notice? It's the scriptures that gets the job done. It's the scriptures that gets the job done. Hallelujah. It's the scriptures that gets the job done. Prayer is not mentioned because it's part of the good work the word trains us for as Christians. Prayer is not mentioned because it is part of the good work that the word trains us for as Christians. It is part of the good work that the word trains us for as Christians. Prayer is not mentioned because it is part of the good works that the word trains us for as Christians. Poor feeding makes it impossible to be effective in every good work. Poor feeding makes it impossible to be effective in every good work. Hallelujah. Poor feeding makes it impossible to be effective in every good work. Praying will be boring. Praying will be boring. Praying will be boring. Ministry will become draining and tedious. Ministry will become draining and tedious. Walking in love and giving will be forced and tiring. These are just examples. Walking in love and giving will be forced and tiring. You'll just be drained. Everything, there will be no life in it without the word of God. Hallelujah. The word is what nourishes us for effectiveness in all these. The word is what nourishes us for effectiveness in all these. Praise God. The word is what nourishes us for effectiveness in all these. So again, we are to fix our hearing. Hallelujah. So again, we are to do what? Fix our hearing. You know, next week, we're going to see the frequency of the use of certain words. And then come to that stuff I said about prayer and how prayer is mentioned in the New Testament. You see that there's less instruction to pray, but there's emphasis on teaching. Amen. So it is the word of God that nourishes us for effectiveness in all this. So again, we are to do what? Fix our hearing. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, how is that coming? Get an answer. How is that coming? The daily listening. Get an answer. How is it coming? Are you catching up? Praise God. All right, next 5 minutes, share with your neighbor what you learned. Your neighbor will share with you also in the next 5 minutes. 5 minutes each, and then we'll close. 5 minutes each, and then we'll close. So you have to play a song for those online.